brothers and sisters in Christ, our service of worship this morning might well be called an act of confession. That is, if we keep in mind the double sense in which the word confession is often employed in our own Christian and Lutheran tradition. Reminded by the word of God from the book of Exodus, the Decalogue, we have heard God's will for us and all men, from the first to the tenth commandment. How those words get home. Not only as commandment after commandment reminds us of our sins of both omission and commission, but as the first table of the law, centering in the first commandment itself, asking us to fear and love God above all things, reminds us that even you and I are forgiven sinners still, who cannot and do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And so we made confession of our sin and of our sin. And then came that precious word of absolution, whereupon the command of Christ, the ordained pastor, absolved us of our sin for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners confess and were absolved. That's the story of our service to this point. But in the word of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, read a moment ago, the epistle for this week of Apocalypse, is another dimension of our confession. For it sets before us the wondrous thing that happens when the absolved confess. Those words come to us in the Apostle Paul's context of describing for his Roman brethren and his Roman congregation the stark difference that exists between the righteousness of the law and the righteousness that comes from God, to use his own language in Romans 10. And he reminds his readers that we should be far past this righteousness that comes by the law, for, as he puts it, Christ is the end of the law, so that everyone who has faith may be justified. The act of confession that we're centering on in these words of the Apostle Paul is the confession that comes from our lips of what God has been and God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Let's listen to those words again and hear how the focus becomes the word of absolution, the word on our lips, the confession of our lips and of our hearts, becomes the very means to the righteousness of faith as distinguished from the righteousness of law. When we hear the words of the Decalogue, as we did a moment ago, but whenever you and I fall prey to the same temptation that confronted the Roman Christians and really all men from time to time, to do what Paul says, to become ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seek to establish our own, which we're forever doing, then we have difficulty. We have a failure to appreciate the reality of the absolution pronounced upon us a moment ago. The Apostle describes it like this. The righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Just do this to your sins, you who are under the righteousness of faith. Perhaps those words don't hit home immediately because they're somewhat difficult to perceive on first blush. But is the Apostle not saying that the questions that are not to be asked by the righteousness of faith, that there is really no need for us to fear, no need for us to depend upon our own effort when we hear this condemning and accusing law of God, the law that always accuses, the law of Commandment 1 to Commandment 10. Do not say in your heart, brother, when you hear that, who will ascend into heaven to bring Christ down? Who will descend into the abyss to bring Christ up from the dead? Don't feel that it's something you must do, that you by your own power or your collective energy could somehow bring Christ down from heaven. After all, Paul says, he has become man and flesh of your flesh, for your salvation and for your righteousness. When you hear the law condemning you, don't in despair lash out and say, who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? Brothers and sisters, Christ has risen from the dead for your justification. You don't have to do it. He has done it for you. That's the righteousness of faith. And there's one other thing. What does it law? What does it say? He continues to his reading. If it doesn't say this, what does it say? And his answer is, the word is near you, on your lips, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For a man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and so is saved. The righteousness of faith, the good news that God has absolved you and me in Christ, is not remote. It's not far off. It's not something we constantly quest after but never find. It's not still up in the heavens. It's not still down in the abyss. What does it say? The word is near you, right here. It's on your lips. It's in your heart. The word of God's good cheer in Jesus Christ. The word which we preach. It's the word which we confess with our lips as we say, Jesus is Lord. Probably an ancient baptismal creed in use of the Roman congregation. And when we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, this confession of our lips brings God's good news, God's absolution near you. It's right here this morning. And every time brothers in Christ share that good news, it's here in the word of apostolic preaching, the good news of God in Jesus Christ, in that kind of confession. It's here at the altar as we receive his body and blood, where we all proclaim. Remember Paul's verb in 1 Corinthians 11, a second person, plural indicative, as often as you are eating this bread, you are proclaiming, you, collectively, proclaiming that God in Christ has rescued us all and redeemed us until the end of time. So, God's good news is near you, brothers and sisters. It's as near as your baptism, it's as near as the word of gospel preaching, it's as near as the body and blood soon to be consumed from his altar. This is the righteousness of faith. And the apostle would this morning remind us not only to hear it, not only to believe it, but also to confess it. For by our confessing of this good news, God's great dynamic justifying and saving action is as close as our own lips. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.